Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wed to the Wild God by Ruby Dixon, narrated by Jillian Macy. 1. Carly.
I'm telling you, sweetie, be careful out there. You never know who to trust in a city like this.
I lift my shoulder, using it to hold the phone to my ear as I clean a mug behind the bar. It's almost opening time, so I need to make this call to my mom short, but I can hear the worry in her voice. Have you seen anything weird outside your apartment, Ma? Any weirdos at work?
No, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about you. You know they never found those two girls that went missing from that building.
Her voice drops a worried note.
They were both young and pretty like you.
It's nice of my mom to think I'm pretty, but that might be a mother's love affecting her there. I'm sure I'm cute enough. My shaggy reddish-blonde hair with thick bangs and my sprinkle of freckles across my snub nose ensures that I get decent tips, but I'm not a model.
One of them was a client of yours, wasn't she? The blonde one, yes. I did a card reading for her right before she disappeared. Weirdest thing.
My mom pauses.
Carly, I didn't tell you, but I did a reading for her after she disappeared because I wanted to see what would come up. I did a 3-card spread, and do you know what I got?
No, what? My mom lived by her card readings.
Death, the King of Pentacles, and the World.
Okay.
I remember reading her, and she got Death and King of Pentacles that day, too.
I pick up another mug, wiping it down to get rid of any water spots.
I thought you told me that didn't mean actual death. It doesn't. It means a big change in life.
But, Carly, I can practically hear my mother swallow on the other end of the phone.
I've done 3 more readings for that young lady, and those 3 cards come up every time.
Goosebumps prickle over my skin. No shit.
No shit.
Did you shuffle well?
I know how to use my cards, Carly.
My mother sounds offended.
This is what I do for a living.
I know, I know. I'm just trying to understand how that could happen.
The cards are trying to tell me something. That's how it happened.
She's dead. I know it. I just don't have any proof,
and her killer is out there somewhere.
Did you do a reading for the other girl? I ask absently, glancing at the clock. 5 minutes until 4 p.m., which means I need to get a move on. I've got to cut some limes and change out one of the kegs, and it's easier if I get it all done before we open our doors. Charlie saunters in from the back with a fresh load of beer steins for me to wipe down and reaches over to turn on the TV behind the bar. I gesture at my phone, indicating I'll end my call, and he nods and walks away. The one you didn't know?
I did.
And?
Death keeps coming up on hers, too. First card I turn over every time.
And then the lovers.
The Hanged Man is always the 3rd card, self-sacrifice. Do you think she gave her life to save the other girl?
If she did, it didn't work, judging by your other cards.
Carly!
My mother admonishes me in a sharp voice.
I'm worried!
I know, Mom, and I love you, but we're about to open up and I can't be on the phone. I glance over at the doors to the bar, and I see one of our regulars peering inside, waiting to get his first after-work beer. Shit. I set the mug down. I really have to go, I tell her, hopping out from behind the bar and grabbing my phone before it drops from my shoulder. I head for the door. Can I call you tomorrow?
Stay safe, baby girl, my mother warns me. I did your cards, too.
That makes me pause. It shouldn't bother me because my mother is a psychic. She has the little shop downtown and everything, and rubs crystals to channel her energies. That's just who Mom is, and ever since I was a kid, she's been reading my cards and giving me advice. I don't believe in it like she does, but maybe it's our conversation, or the timing. But goosebumps prickle up and down my arms. And what did you see?
The lovers, a relationship. The fool, and death.
I frown, my hand on the handle of the front door.
You sure there isn't something wrong with your deck? Sounds like the same cards keep popping up all the time. Maybe they're too worn out, or the cards are stuck together.
My cards are fine, my mother exclaims, affronted. I know it's an insult to question her ability, but I can't help but ask.
I'm sorry, it just seems weird.
I know. So I tried two other decks, and I got the same results for you every time. Just be careful, okay? I love you. You're all I have.
I know, Ma. I'll be careful. I think about the cards. Lovers, fool, beginning a relationship. Yeah, that's not going to happen. The bar is the only place I go, and most of my customers are older, married, or drunks. The last relationship I had, I ran away from the moment it started to get serious.
You don't have to worry. I'm not seeing anyone.
Just be careful, she warns me again. I'm sure this means something.
I'm sure it does, in her eyes. To me, I'm not entirely sure that the cards aren't just a little too well-loved. But it's sweet of her to worry. I'm 28 years old and my mom still acts as if I'm 14.
I'll text you when I get home tonight, I promise. Love you.
Love you too. And where are your crystals that I gave you?
I cringe. I am definitely not doing that.
Will do, I lie, unlocking the front door to let in our first impatient customer. I really have to go.
I forget all about the conversation with my mother because work gets crazy busy. There's a game on tonight, so the bar is packed with people by the time it starts until close. And then it's such a mess that cleaning the place takes longer than usual. Charlie balances the till and cleans the machines while I put chairs atop tables and mop the floors. We work in silence. After a long day of being on behind the bar and chatting with people to make them comfortable and bring in tips, a little bit of quiet headspace is more than welcome. After I clean out the bathrooms, I grab the garbage bags and nod at Charlie, who's splitting out the tips for the night. Be right back. I'm taking these to the alley.
Wait, Carly. Charlie frowns over at me. I'll go with you.
He's never volunteered before.
Why? Because it's late and it's dark.
I stare at him, as if he's grown another head. He's being chivalrous after all this time of working together. And he's got a damn boot on his foot?
Charlie broke two toes last week and has been limping behind the bar all night, his foot in a black, oversized medical boot. I swear, if I have to hear his story about it one more time, I'm going to scream.
It's always late and dark. I'll be fine. I have pepper spray.
I pat my pocket.
You have pepper spray?
I'm a woman alone in the city. Of course I have pepper spray. I make a face at him.
Now can we just finish up? I really want to get home. I have some leftover pizza that's calling my name, and I'd really like to collapse in bed.
I gesture at the garbage bags on the floor in front of me. The longer we do this, the longer it takes to get home.
Charlie hesitates, then goes back to counting, shaking his head.
If you aren't back in 2 minutes, I'm coming after you.
I'll let the murderers know, I tease, grabbing the garbage and heading out the back exit into the alley. Even though it's nice of Charlie to offer, I'm glad he backed down. Charlie tends to work at a slow, deliberate pace, and he's a stickler for cleanliness. That's great and all, but at almost 3 in the morning, when I just want to crawl into bed, I know it'll go faster if I don't take him with me. He'll be slow as molasses in that boot, and I know his foot is hurting him. Besides, the alley is always deserted. Our bar is in a business district, and no one's around this time of night. That, and I have pepper spray. I've been taking the garbage out late at night for 2 years now, and it's never been a problem. I'm always careful and aware of my surroundings. I can take care of myself. I pull the pepper spray out of my pocket and grip it in one hand, the garbage bag handles tightly gripped in the other hand, as I head into the alley. Of course, tonight's the first night that the street light's out. Fucking great. I glare up at the sky, but there's a full moon at least, so it's not completely and utterly dark. Just mostly. I think for a moment about getting Charlie, but then I think about his foot in that boot. And I scan the alley. It looks clear. The row of dumpsters on the far side of the street, framed by a couple of parked cars down the way. There's some garbage and wet crap puddled in the middle of the alley, and one of the dumpster cats is prowling around, but nothing seems out of the ordinary. All right then, no big deal. Get this done and go. I head down the steps, moving with purpose toward the dumpsters. A low groan echoes in the alley. I freeze, dropping the garbage bags in a clatter of cans and broken bottles. It makes a terrible racket, but I don't care. I flick the lid off my pepper spray and hold it up, turning around. I don't see anyone, but the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up. Charlie, you got that other bag? I lie, in case someone's watching me and ready to spring. Need me to hold the door open for you? There's no sound other than that of my harsh breathing, and my tense muscles start to relax. Did I hear a cat in heat then? Or a skunk? The groan comes again, but it sounds more pained than threatening. I swallow hard, tempted to head back inside and grab Charlie. Sure, he's 120 pounds soaking wet, but someone else nearby would be welcome. And if someone's injured out here... Well, I don't know that clean freak Charlie would be much help after all. Hello? Another low sound, and it sounds like... pain.
Help me. Ah, fuck. Really, universe?
Despite my better judgment, I head for the sounds. If someone's dying and I abandon them, I'm going to feel terrible. Of course, if someone murders me, that will also be terrible. But I feel like I don't have a choice. It's like I'm being compelled to head into the shadows, where the darkest parts of the alley aren't lit up by moonlight. Who's there? Something soft and wispy brushes over my face. I fight back a scream as I realize it's just cobwebs. Somehow, I've managed to find the only spider in the area who's making a web, and I shudder, scrubbing at my face. Hello? I call again. There's another groan, and my feet hit something hard and solid before I realize I've nearly tripped over the man. I bite back another scream, stumbling as I struggle to keep my balance and drop my pepper spray. Right next to a hand. Oh, fuck, oh, fuck. The hand is spattered with blood, the palm facing the sky, the fingers half curled. It's a man's hand, and as I look up the tattooed arm, I see even more blood, and then a dark, huge body nestled amongst the trash bags. The whole guy is covered in blood.
Oh, my God, I whimper, pressing my fingers to my mouth in horror. This guy's been murdered. Even as I think I'm going to be sick, I'm horrified to realize that my nipples are pricking and my pulse is throbbing between my legs.
What the fuck is wrong with me? Why am I reacting like this?
The man groans again, and to my surprise, he opens his eyes and looks right at me. I stare into a pair of stunningly silver eyes, so intense that it takes my breath away.
Carly, Charlie calls from the bar's back door.
Are you out here?
There's a man over here, I call back. I think he's hurt. He's covered in blood.
The stranger just looks at me. His hand on the asphalt twitches, and then he lifts it toward me, as if asking me to take it. Automatically, I reach for it.
You're going to be okay, I whisper to him. You...
The moment our fingers touch, my entire body shudders. To my horror, I orgasm. Then I black out.
2.
Carly! Carly! Wake up, please!
A hand taps me on my cheek over and over again, and I groan, opening my eyes. My pulse is throbbing through my entire body, and I feel both exhausted and curiously blissful. I'm lying on something hard, and there's a stink of garbage all around me. I squint, trying to make sense of the shadows, and see Charlie's frantic face.
Oh, thank God, he breathes. Are you all right?
There's a man, I murmur, memories flooding back. A man covered in blood.
What? Did you hit your head? Can you sit up?
His hand moves to my shoulder, tugging on me. Slowly, I sit upright. I don't feel bad. If anything, my pulse is throbbing and my head is fuzzy, but I don't understand why I collapsed. I put a hand to my forehead, trying to remember what happened. The man in the alley was covered in blood, silver eyes. He touched me. Oh, boy. I shift my hips a little, and the sensation of my pussy, wet and slick and sensitive, hits me like a ton of bricks.
I totally orgasmed and passed out. What the ever-loving fuck?
Swallowing hard, I look around. It's as dark as ever, but I don't see anyone nearby.
How long have I been out?
I don't know, a few minutes. You were taking a while, and I came out to see what was wrong and found you sprawled.
Charlie's face is full of worry.
Do you need me to take you to a hospital?
There's no... man? I blink at him.
There was a man here. Did he hit you? Attack you?
I glance down at my hand, and there's still blood on it. I didn't imagine things then.
How do I explain to my coworker that a stranger touched my hand and I came so hard that I blacked out?
That does it, Charlie says. I'm taking you to the nearest dock in the box. We're going to get you looked at.
I swear, I'm fine, I protest. God, what am I going to tell a doctor? That I spontaneously orgasmed because of a bloody hobo?
Help me stand up, please.
Charlie wraps an arm around my waist and helps me get to my feet. And oddly enough, his touch bothers me. I think of Charlie like a sibling, a little annoying at times, but harmless and friendly. But he's standing close, trying to help me stand, and I don't want him to touch me. I don't want anyone to touch me. Well, no, that's not completely right, I realize, because I imagine the silver eyes of the stranger, and my pussy clenches all over again.
I'm good, I say to Charlie, a bit more abrupt than I should. I push his arms away and take a step, then two. I brush off my clothes.
I think I'm fine.
My coworker just stares at me as if I'm insane.
I'm not sure you are, Carly. Have you been getting enough sleep? Have you...
He pauses, his eyes going wide. His storky long throat moves, Adam's apple bobbing. And he blinks. And blinks again. I turn around, looking over my shoulder to see what he's staring at.
There's a large figure at the end of the alley, hidden in shadows. He stares out at nothing, and I dimly see taillights on a neighboring street. He turns back toward us, and then begins to head in our direction. Maybe I should feel fear, but weirdly enough, all I feel is a prickle of anticipation.
Is that your attacker?
Charlie asks in a hushed voice, moving to stand closer to me again. I discreetly step away because, again, Charlie's nearness is bugging me. It's like I don't want anyone to be close to me except him, the stranger striding in my direction.
He didn't attack me, I tell Charlie. I think he's hurt. He was covered in blood.
Charlie cups a hand to his mouth.
Who are you? He calls out.
The man doesn't answer. He just moves toward us with purpose. And as he moves closer, I find myself frozen in place. And I feel strange. Languid, happy, pleasant, sexy. I watch him move, and even as he comes into the light and I see just how filthy and plastered with blood the man is, he looks sensual. He moves like a panther, a predator, a sexy damn beast. My pussy clenches again. Oh, Charlie breathes, and when I look over at him, he's got an utterly besotted look on his face. Okay, so it's not just me. There's something about this man, I think. He approaches us, all bloody hair and naked chest. His pants cling to his legs, soaked and outlining his muscles. His hair looks long, his beard clinging to his jaw. And his eyes are such a bright silver in his face that they're positively overwhelming. As he comes closer, I realize just how massive he is. He's big and muscled, his shoulders broad and intimidating. When he comes to stand in front of me, I don't even make it to his shoulder. The man completely ignores Charlie, his attention focused entirely on me.
What's your name, my light?
I don't know if I want to giggle with glee or drop to my knees in front of him and beg to let him fuck my mouth.
Carly, I breathe, swept up in his spell. I'm Carly,
and I'm all yours.
I don't say that part out loud. I'm not crazy. But I mean it. There's something about this man that is just making my hormones scream awake. I'm both horrified and fascinated, because I've never felt like this before, ever. I enjoy flirting. I enjoy getting to know a guy. I've never been so viscerally attracted to a man that I wanted to have sex the moment I saw him. Especially not a man I found in an alley covered in blood. Yet, here we are. The stranger puts his hand out to me again, palm up. I reach out and then pull back. I'm not falling for that again. I sound breathless and apologetic as I say it. Sorry. His face broadens into a perfect smile. All white teeth and cocky tilt to his lips, and I get weak in the knees all over again. I think Charlie does too. He makes a weird noise behind me, but the guy doesn't even look over at him. He's looking at me and only me, and I'm entranced by that beautiful grin.
I am called Kasam.
Are you all right? Do you...
I stare at his bloody face, his chest, his long wet hair sticking to his skin.
Do you have somewhere to go?
Can I go with you?
I should say no. I absolutely should say no. Stranger danger and all that. Instead, I make a wobbly noise in my throat.
Sure.
Or me, Charlie says, speaking up. He surges forward, practically pushing me aside. You can come stay with me if you want. I've got plenty of room. Kasam's smile doesn't fade, but he finally looks over at Charlie.
No, he says. I have everything I need with Carly.
The way he says my name makes me flush with heat. Oh boy, I can't think straight. Not when he's watching me with those incredibly haunting eyes. My whole brain feels like it's fogged with lust.
Are you hurt?
I ask Kasam. I reach out and put my hand on his bare chest. I don't know why I do it, just that I feel like I have to. And when I do, I want to close my eyes with how good it feels. I don't care that he's sticky with blood and a stranger. I'm about ready to shuck my panties and climb him.
Better now,
Kasam murmurs.
Where?
I lick my lips, and it's hard to concentrate when Kasam watches that small movement.
Where's your shirt? Your wallet?
He shrugs.
We should lock up,
Charlie says, and he sounds as dazed as me. Lock up, right. The bar. I stare at my hand on Kasam's bloody chest, and I can't seem to pull away from him. He notices my troubles, I think. Kasam gently takes my wrists and pries my hand from his chest.
Go on. I am not going anywhere. We have time.
I don't ask time for what, because I don't care. All I know is I have Kasam, and I have time. Time for all kinds of things. And my mind is shotgunning mental images into my head of all sorts of filthy, wicked things to do to this man. I practically sleepwalk through the rest of my tasks at the bar, putting away the cleaning supplies while Charlie readies the cash for the bank deposit. Like we always do, we head out to the bank across the street together, and he puts the envelope in the Dropbox. Then he heads toward his car, pausing a few times as if wanting to ask me if he can stay with Kasam. It's weird, but I also get it. The small part of my brain that's not completely overwhelmed by Kasam totally understands. I head toward my car on zombie legs, my skin prickling as Kasam puts a possessive hand on my shoulder. I open the driver's side door and get in, and he waits beside my car. And waits. I say, gesturing at the other side. Do you want to get in? He nods, moving around to the door, and then fumbles at the handle. It seems odd to me that he doesn't know how to work a car door, but what about this isn't absolutely bananas? I lean over and tug on the handle. The door opens, and Kasam folds his big body into the car so very awkwardly I would laugh if my panties weren't completely soaked. What the fuck is wrong with me? And why don't I care? Right now, all I give a shit about is Kasam coming to my apartment so I can spend more time with him. I don't care that he's a stranger. I don't care that he's covered in blood. I just need this badly, and I can't figure out why. I glance over at him. He's not wearing a seatbelt, and he's getting blood all over everything, and I still don't care. It's like I'm drugged, this fascination I have with him.
Did you do something to me?
I ask, breathless.
It's my presence, Kasam says. It cannot be helped.
Oh, I think for a moment. Okay. My place is just around the corner, and it takes less than 5 minutes for me to park in my assigned space and turn the car off. Kasam fumbles with the door.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?